they turn their nose up at that Alan's clover.
I've always fed Pangola. Everybody says Pangola's got more strength in it and the better hay. Now, I mean, the people that I buy from, they always, because I guess they got Pangola. You know, it's
just, let me tell you, Willie, the trouble with Pangola, it'll stand up there and look like hay longer than any other hay there is.
But underneath it ain't no hay, just like I was telling you about a while ago.
Yeah, except it won't necessarily, you know, it won't have to be that thick and that far gone. But that's, I've heard old Dodd say, old Hill Brum Dodd, I say that he don't have to worry about that. Pangola, it'll wait for him. And he can, you know, he can just go on about his business when he gets around for it. A month or 6 weeks. And you see, it won't do that. That's what you buy, you see, in Pangola. Now, if you, so you don't know what you're getting in Pangola. Now, I used to buy Pangola from this fella up at Latchway. Nice fella. Edwards, concrete fella. I think his son-in-law. All fine land, well fertilized and all like that. But he never did bring me a bale I could smell.
Yeah. That's, what's that man's name? Sapp? No, it ain't Sapp.
I can't call it right off.
Sapp married his sister. Well, you said brother-in-law.
Edwards.
Yeah,
His
son-in-law. No, son-in-law. Let's see now, his son-in-law. Let's see, No, it ain't Bob Stevie. That's his nephew's, his niece's husband. I know the man. Anyway, it don't make no difference.
A nice, heavy, tall fella. And he got on his back. The last time he came out here, he had to sit there and let the big boy load it for him and me. Oh, he got on his back bad. And he kept on working, you know?
Well, he should have got him some dome pills. Yeah. But
and what we can do, you see, if I think it's starting this, if we get started, if we want to, we can put a little nitrogen on it and get another little crop over there.
Well,
if we need to.
How much would that cost? How much do you usually put to the acre?
Nitrogen? Just a bag.
Are you talking about ammonia nitrate potash?
Yeah.
You talking about that ammonia nitrate?
Yeah.
That costs $5 a hundred.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You talking about a 50-pound bag now, 100-pound?
100-pound.
That's two of them 50-pound bags.
Mm-hmm.
How many acres is it?
7 acres.
Mm-hmm. That's $35. That ain't no big amount. You got something to put it out with, fertilizer.
Not very good.
This old buddy of mine's got a distributor. I don't know whether it'll put out that stuff. You know, you ain't, you, when you put that stuff out and you spread 100 pounds to acre, you can't hardly tell you're putting any out.
Well, if you can.
I mean, you know, it don't go out like you're pouring out 600-700 pounds.
No.
I done put it out, I know.
Yeah.
And I've gotten awful.
You run out, huh?
I've got awful fouled up with that thing. I put so much to one acre that I didn't have none for the next.
Yeah.
Cause I had, I figured I wasn't putting anything, see.
Yeah.
Man told me, he said, about as good a thing as no wore out cedar, cyclone cedar. Similar to cyclone cedar, you put on your, hook up to your battery on the track, put it on the front.
Yeah.
So that's about the good thing to put out that ammonia nitrate on the pasture that
right.
is.
Yeah.
Because he says it don't adjust with a big gate to it like your fertilizer forever. And he says you don't get confused.
Yeah.
You see, when you got them big gates and you push that down to where it's closed, you got to close it up all the way as much as you can close. And then sometimes stick cotton or a rag under one side of it because it's too much vibrate out.
Yeah.
And now I know some of them, they're a little worn and you can't close them gaps up.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that ammonia, it's round like little balls, and it vibrates, and it'll just get right down in there, roll right on through the least little crack where you don't think it'll go.
Yeah.
That's where I found it.
Yeah.
But,
oh, it's good about that.
Uh-huh. Anyway, I could have got a darn good spreader, grain sower, homemade them with a, one of 30-gallon, little 30-gallon grease drums. Mm-hmm. Boy made it himself. Put it, taking a little fan motor out of an automobile heater and cut them fan blades up, you know. And, you know, you got a variable speed on a fan, on your blower, you know. And put it on, you could put it on whatever speed you wanted. You know what I'm talking about? And that thing did a job. And you could sow seed, the least little seed, or you could sow as big a seed as you want to sow. Mm-hmm. Rye and oats and such as that. Put it in there and let her go. And that 30-gallon drum.
Yeah.
And it was real built, steady built. And I bet you a quarter he'd give it away when he sold out.
Yeah.
Just, I bet you'd give it to him. But see, before I knew anything about it, he'd done up and flew the coop, bankrupts and everything, and everybody was stealing and carrying on around the place. Mm-hmm. But if on this 7 acres, or on whatever acres you want cut, what I want to do, see, is I'll find out from Frankie if he wants part in this thing, which I want him to have a part, because I want him to come over here and mow off what you want mowed off now right away if we're going to do it,
yeah.
Get it in shape.
Because yeah.
It really should have done, that winter growth should have been done mowed off. So if you come over here and mow that thing off and get it ready to start growing back for another cutting, would you think as soon as you cut it off we ought to spread some ammonia on it? Or cut it one time and then spread it the next?
No, I'd put the regular fertilizer on it first.
Regular fertilizer?
Yeah.
How much of that you got to put?
I'd put 4 sacks.
4 sacks? That much?
Yeah.
That's getting a little heavy, ain't it?
Yeah.
4 sacks on 7 acres?
Mm-hmm.
Heard that?
4 sacks an acre.
Oh, to the acre. Yeah, I thought you was, I was really joking when I was.
That's just a ton and a half, you see.
Yeah, 30 bags. Now, what does that run?
2.5 sack?
Cheap. What kind are you getting? Where are you getting?
I get it from Seminole because they deliver it. And it's pretty fair.
Where you get 10, 10, 10?
That's all they've got. About
you
all
ever use
got.
Any stuff from this CPA?
Yes, but they have to go get it.
I believe you can get it about 2.25 of that, can't you?
I wouldn't go get it for a quarter.
Well, if you had enough bag, you could make money at it.
Well, I don't think.
Of course, if you bust a tire, then you lost money.
Yeah.
you
know, I'll tell you what you do. If you had it on, if we had the little spreader and tie it on to the back of the pickup, and we could put a ton and a half fertilizer on that while we're sitting here talking.
Oh, yeah. But then on the other hand, I believe this spreader is run by, let's see, is it run by, no, I can't remember. Seems like that thing's run by the tractor, that agitator,
yeah.
On the drive shaft. I mean, your
probably
PTO.
Yeah.
I believe it's got a PTO agitator.
Yeah.
I'm not
but
sure, but
you
I believe
see
it.
Most of them have a good one. But you've seen them old kinds.
Oh, yeah. You know what we used to do for watermelons? There was no man up here at Newberry invented that thing. They would take an old Model T rear end and made him a distributor. You see, when the wheels turn, they had this. They turned the rear end straight up, the drive line straight up, and welded the agitator on it, see, to where it slung that fertilizer out.
Yeah.
The wheels turning, see, turn the rear end, which turned your drive shaft, which cut off, and this agitator welded to. Well, we after World War II, that was the trick. And for watermelons, we just take a ton and a half truck and do a wheel on the course and just get them water furs and take off. Put just, you know, we'd be dumping fertilizer while the truck was running. And you just go up and down them roads like that, you know, and you just keep dumping fertilizer in it all the time, you know. You're driving along until you unload the truck, whatever you had loaded on the truck.
Oh, that's it. If you just got to stop and wipe it. Sweat and empty a bag of fertilizer half down the road, you ain't gonna get it out real fast.
But there ain't but one thing, that's hard on a truck, especially just a straight ton and a half, like we had just a straight ton and a half truck. Because you see, we'd go out there with, well, started off trying to carry 4 tons. 4 tons is a lot of weight. Of course, we'd put 5 tons out on the road. But we started off with 4 tons, and we got it down to where it's working fine. And when the lighter the load gets, it gets just as bad as it is when you start off with a heavy load.
Yeah.
Because it wants to spin. You know what I mean? That the wheels go to jibbling, you know, and you want to go too fast. You're stripping it, you're not putting out an even spread. Now, if it was on turf, you could go any way you wanted
to. Yeah, that's right.
But in that plowed ground, and we used to really, back then, didn't do like do now. You know, a lot of these 40-mile farmers, they just go out there and lay off a row and put fertilizer down there, and then they work the metals out as they come to them. Mm-hmm. But we used to turn our ground and then lay it off, you know, and put the fertilizer in there and then list on it. Well, we'd open it up. And, of course, we used mule. And there was no tractor. Now you could, it wouldn't be too bad because you have your tractor tracks, you know, to run track in to follow that. But anyway, I just thinking if get Frankie Innes in it, get him over here and cut that thing off and rake it off. See, he's a hay man. He's dealt with his hay machines and stuff.
Oh, has he?
Oh, yes. He worked with OGP and Robert Williams and them a long time.
Yeah.
Putting up hay.
Yeah.
See, he used to, that's where he used
that
to do
right?
All that. Yeah.
Well, Lord,
yeah, he's very familiar with the mower. He's running the mower now.
Yeah.
Albert's got to have his grass mowed every week or so. He has to have it mowed off because he likes to see his pastures level. He wants them level.
Yeah,
he don't want no growth up like that. He don't want it. He wants them cut down. He says, oh, excuse me, that thing's cut down, and when it cuts down, them little tender sprouts is what the cow wants. And it says, when you keep cutting it, that agitates it, aggravates the root, and makes it keep shooting up them tender sprouts. And he says, that's what I want. So he's got Frankie running that mower 2 or 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And like I say, he, old farm bulletin, market bulletin.
Hey,
I might even find me a tractor around here.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, he's familiar. He did a little baling, a lot of raking and cutting.
Yeah.
He's been around more baling and such than I have, and he's pulled a baler a good bit. But I mean, you know, as far as mechanically working on it, he never did do that because GP always done it. Robert, you know, Robert, he's. He don't like for nobody to fool with old Rooster. No, what's he calling? Nubbin. Is out that old 19-1 outfit he's got, you know, he calls it nubbin. And nubbin's a thing, you know, that's of poor state, you know, or it's wore out. And he says, I can take nubbin and I can bail more hay in a day, and GP Lightner can, and all that modern stuff down at that ranch where he works.
Yeah.
And he can, because he knows where every piece of hay wire is and the strength of that wire. And when that wire begins to weaken, he replaces that wire during the break, you know.
Yeah.
So he keeps going.
Yeah.
But
it's your fire. You get a lot of money caught up in hay equipment now.
It is. But it's down to D Land. I'm hunting a Ford 8N tractor. And they got one down to D Land. Well, it's a 9N, which is not much difference. This man busted transmission case on that Martin that I got.
Oh.
He like most people, you know, this man could have bought 12 tractors at $12,000 a piece if he'd wanted. But he has the kind of Martin Bayer, his little old thing that I spent money on and built it up. See, I rebuilt the thing here a couple of years ago and just got it in good shape. And he borrowed it this past spring, a year ago, and kept it about 6 months and just wrecked it. It had almost a new tire on it, and he's got it all busted. Not busted, but chopped all up and cut up and gassed up. Then Martin bought a new grill for it, and I put on it because it was looks so ragged on the front, and darn if it don't look worse now than the one that he had on that. And he got told to lift up, and man told me, he said, all you need is that little old
valve.
Well, I put it in there, and it ain't as good as it was. So I found the case busted. And I find the lift don't work at all, and it don't run like it should. And I've just been wondering how I was going to get that thing fixed. I told Martin if I was him, if it was really my tractor, I'd have to go see Mr. Collosion and see if he wouldn't give me a little money. I'd do something about it. Of course, I guess it's too late now, but I told him that thing was leaking when he brought it back, because when he brought it back in Parks, over there where we built those houses, there was a spot of grease under there about that big. Well, I looked at it, and he told Martin that, Collosion wasn't driving. He had a nigger driving. And he told Martin he was having to buy anywhere from $1.50 to $2 worth of oil for it every day. And that's where it was going. That transmission rear end, everything all works off in the same case, say, you know, same oil. And he busted that transmission case. And that's where the oil was going. But I didn't know it at the time. And then when I brought it down home there, I tell you the reason I thought there was no danger. That old big drain plug under there, the gasket got a little bad on it the last time I fooled with it. It was a little bad, and just a little oil had seeped, you know, not enough to even, you know how oil spread on something, and it makes it look like you lost a gallon and it wasn't but a little drop. But it always stayed a little damp under there, around that drain plug, which most tractors do. It's hard to get a gasket to hold. But anyway, I thought possibly, I said, well, I'll just go to Ford place, pick up another gasket, and that'll fix that. And I thought that's what it was, you know. Kind of find out, about 3 months later, I got around to really checking that thing and find the case is busted. So I called Mr. Jarhead about it, and he said you'd have to turn the tractor upside down to weld it. Or either tear it or take it apart. And he said it'll probably break again right at the weld. Best thing to do is to find a used tractor. Most all of these in this N series, the transmission, rear, and running gear is the same thing. there was a changeover in your ignition distributor in one model, and then there's a changeover in they moved all of the accessories from one side of the tractor to the other side in another 7, 8, or 9. I don't remember how it goes. Basically, the tractor is the same all the way through. One was built 1 year, and one the next, and then they built the Jubilee, which was 1953.
And that changed.
That set the whole thing up different. But anyway, they don't even.
You know, I'd love to have a Jubilee.
I would too.
If they could keep, what do they call it, when they keep an old model still in production? They don't do that. But if they could do that, I'm telling you, that'd be hell.
Yes, sir. That Jubilee's a good tractor. But the thing about it is, you can't hardly find one. Skeezy except you had one. And it was beat up something awful. Man brought it in on a trade.
Well, and on that, take that with you and read it tonight. On that, on the front line, I'll tell you what. I've got credit down here at Seminole.
Credit?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what we can do. We can just get a little extra hay and sell a couple of tons. And that'll put in the allocation for a life. Just sell a little.
But getting back to the tractor, I went to Skeezy's, you know, old Joe Farnbaugh. And I seen it sitting out there. I said, how much takes a Jubilee? So Wells says, I got to wash it up a little bit. You know what he's doing? Taking that thing around and steamed it down and painted it the original colors and sold that darn thing for $800. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. For $800. I would give him $450 for it then, but he goes and adds $350 just for a paint job.
Yeah.
And that's all he done. It didn't run no different. Yeah. It run just like it did there. I cranked it up out there on the yard.
Yeah.
And I found out that Joe's, don't tell him I said so, because sometimes I have to go there, you know, for various reasons. I have to go there sometimes. He's crooked.
I've tried to...
Are you through with this?
Yeah.
Appreciate it. I
have tried to... don't you get that?
I got it one time, but they quit sending it to me, and I don't know why, but they quit.
I have tried to work along with him. And you know, I never have found anything over there I could buy.
At Joe's?
Yes.
I haven't either. think one thing that I found that I had to have on that old 8-in, right hand lift arm broke. And I went over there and he had a 9-in there, and the only difference in an 8-in and a 9-in is a 9-in is a heavy, a little heavy arm, it's a little heavier. And he charged me $5 for that thing and me take it off. And if I didn't have myself a whooping time, and finally Fred went down there and helped me to get that thing off. Fred went down there with some liquid wrench and a sledgehammer, and we beat and beat and beat, and we finally drove it. See, it wasn't on a tractor. You know how them arms, that shaft goes through there, and it sits right, your seat sits down on part of it. Well, just that upper part of your lift and them arms was together, and you could just beat it all over the countryside, and you hit it, and it'd bounce and jump all over the country. I went down there with a little old half-pound hammer, you know, and I seen right off, I was barking up a dead tree, and so I went back up there and asked Fred about borrowing a heavier hammer. He said, well, that ain't going to get it off. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, I asked Joe, I said, Joe, what about letting Fred help me get that thing off? And he said, hell no. He said, I do that, so it costs you $10. So it costs $5 for him to help you. I said, oh, heck, I'll get it. So old Joe left and Fred come down there, and me and him together, that pine liquid wrench, we finally got it off. But he had the third hitch to a 3-point hitch, you know, the linkage, laying out there in the junk pile. One of them old original Ford things. The original, old timey kind that most farmers don't like anymore because it's so contrary. You know, the two flat bars that are bolted with three bolts and you only got about that much adjustment. Well, I like them things for that old drag, see. They're more stout. They don't break as easy as a bolt does. And you know how much he wanted for that thing and it laying out there resting out in junk pile? $10. I said, Joe, you don't want to sell it. Oh, yeah. He said, I want to get rid of it. It says resting out. I said, no, you don't. You love that thing. I said, shoot you. He said, well, says, I got one in here. I'll sell you for $15. I said, no. I said, I don't want it. Don't want it at all. he helped me out one time, and he's always been trying to get back what he helped me out.
Well, I tell you, Willie. They got so there's many pretty wealthy people in the country now. They don't have to deal with poor people anymore.
Well, that's right. You take
you see, look at D.P. Lightner.
He's not a wealthy man, but he's working for a man that is.
Well, I mean, all those people he sells to, he's dealing. They don't even look at the bill. He's selling a load of hay. They wouldn't even weigh it or look at the weigh bill.
But
they better.
You know, I got ripped there the year before last OGP. Bad man, I really got a ripping. But this
what'd you do?
That old sorry hay.
I went over there one time and got some snap corn. I thought, well, you know, you're going over to the mill and get it if some of the neighbors got it. I forget the price of it now, but he charged me more for the snap corn.
And you hauled it.
Yeah. Then I'd have to pay in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran out of the 100-pound sacks. So he just threw in a few of the, he had some 75-pound sacks.
75?
So he just threw in a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
As 100-pound sacks, as, you know, regular sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's slipping, boy, I'm telling you. And Lawrence is just like him. I mean, Lawrence is worse. Lawrence caps the whole Lightner generation.
But he's not as, he don't have that front. That,
no, he's more bald-faced with his right out. Bald-faced. I mean, Lawrence comes right out. GP kind of works behind the back, undercover like. But you know, really and truly, I just never got a deal on hay yet. I've got my first hay to get that I didn't pay through the nose for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like buying broom sage, $30 a ton, and you go haul it, and then I find my neighbor, he gets it for $25 a ton, and the man puts it under his shed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find this man selling it to my aunt for $25 a ton and puts it under her shed. And I go pay $30 for it and haul it with my own truck and load it and everything. He don't even touch it. I pay him cash money. And I got, as soon as I got the hay out, last load, I went to him and paid him cash. Cash on the barrel. But it's like you say, they look into these people, you know, spend a lot of money with them.
They always see me coming. I never get on. I get out. They skin me.
Yeah, they see me too.
Well, this was beautiful hay. Now, you know, you got to have a little seed. Oh, that was beautiful last year. That middle pasture.
Mm-hmm. Did it smell?
Oh, it smelled.
Good.
All over the country. Yes, sir.
We're now number one, Dog Corner. Don't be caught in. What is that? Photographer's Unscrupulous Flash. Compare yourself with the Joneses. Have you compared yourself with the Joneses yet?
Yeah, but I don't want to be number one. I'll let somebody else be that.
Mm. Well, I don't either. But I talked with Frankie and get him to come over here and cut this here, get it all, everything sized up. We got to size it.
All right.
And see what he'll do now. And like I say, he usually wants around 500 bales. Now, he didn't get it the year before last. He made it through the winter. But we had more feed. I had 10 acres of corn down there and made good. Last year, I didn't have part of it drowned out on me. And the darn crows eat it up bad when it's coming up, and I didn't get a good stand. And the dry weather hit me, and I got it planted late, the first one thing or another, so I didn't make a half crop hardly. But we had plenty of grain the year before last. And you know, anyway, like I say, he's got a pretty good idea of good hay, he's got a good eye for curing, and good, he's good with equipment. He takes his time. He ain't rambunctious.
Yeah.
And he acts like he ain't ever get nothing done. But at the end of the week, it's all finished and put away.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it always is. Up until here, when I was working regular, I hired him a lot to help me, you know, when he wouldn't be working for Zetra.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get so darn disgusted and mad at him. But at the end of the week, things would kind of bunch up, you know. I told him sometimes it looked like he did everything he did. The whole 2 days he'd work for me, he'd do it all on Friday. He wouldn't do a darn thing on Thursday, it looked like.
No, sir, I tell you, the only fellow that worries me is that he goes at it like he knows what he's doing when he don't know. Now you take a fellow that knows and has had and done it, Willie. He don't make me nervous. I don't care how he goes about it.
Well, sometimes I'm a lot like you. It just burns me up though for a fella to say I can do something and then I find out he can't.
Yeah.
But he don't let me know that he can't until he's done made an expensive mistake.
Yeah.
Then that gets me.
Yeah.
But Frank is, he's got his faults just like I have and everybody else. He sometimes makes you think he's mad with everybody in the country. It's just his way. He's a bastard, see. He's mama's baby. He's been there ever since he's been born, and he'll die right there.
Well, you know, he don't know how lucky he is, and she may outlive him.
That's right. That's very
now,
nice.
Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be something.
Yes, sir. Now, not many men can
at that age
get it off that lucky.
Yeah, go in and say, Mom, have you got my dinner cooked?
Yes.
And don't pay for it. Don't cost him nothing.
No, sir.
She go to town, you know, and come back. And say, Mama, did you buy me any cigarettes?
Yeah.
My wife never bought no cigarettes for me.
You know, I see these. I never want to leave home, and I see these kids just can't wait to get off somewhere, and they don't want to go. If they can go to school up in town or down here at Ocala, they don't want to do that.
They want to go way over the hill,
way off somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Like yesterday afternoon, there's two girls. About a tenth enough clothing on, come walking up to me there, you know. want to know where Jennings Hall was. I said, you looking at it? I said, right straight on down the road then. I said, you headed in the right direction. He said, well, where's the tower? I said, you just walk by it. And I was over there on Newell Street in front of Dairy Science. And I knew they was wanting something by the way they was walking. I checked 866 old building, old wood building over there by Rollins Hall, girls' dormitory. I checked that twice when I first get that 515, and again at 8 I go over there and check, and then I don't fool that building no more because ain't no traffic. I don't let the boss know it, but ain't no traffic in there. They close it up, and very seldom anybody ever goes back there. If they do, if there ever is any activity there, it's there when I first go there. And so I go back later, and there's never anybody there, and then I be sure everything's locked up and everything's in shape, and then I don't go back. But anyway, they acted like they were just as happy as they could be, screeching and running and hollering. And I just figured, you know, they was from Lord knows where. But I run into a man up there. He claims himself he's a replica of Jesus, and he's got his hair long, cut like Jesus, with one of them kind of a scraggly, full-faced beard, you know. He stands around with a sad-eyed look. He says he's a replica of Jesus, and he talks with good sense and. In fact, I guess I've enjoyed talking to him about as much as I have anybody up there. So, yesterday afternoon, see, they just come back in yesterday.
Yeah.
Just cranked back up. And he said, I know you thought I wasn't coming back. I said, well, I wouldn't have cried if you hadn't. And he looked at me, he says, you broke my heart. I said, yeah, I figured I had, because I says, you're a sympathetic cuss. And he says, you're right, I am. He says, I'll sympathize with anybody that will let me twist their ear for a minute. I said, I figured that too. And he's about 25 and 30 years old. He's studying for a doctor's degree in farming. Some part of the farm deal, you know. But he's a...
You never figured... You never figured in the old days that they'd get a doctor's degree in farming, did you?
No. Back whenever I was young, and I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Sure.
All doctors, I thought, delivered babies.
Yeah.
Back then, that's about our biggest problem was. Mama was always sick in confinement, you know, back then, you know. Always put them in confinement, you know. But... a lot of people in there. They got a lot of job opportunities from the federal government to go to these states, right, parts of our own country here, and work with backward people, you know, and farming, like in the hills of your old home country, and Alabama and Mississippi and Missouri and all in there. They got opportunities for these people, and paying good salaries. They give them a man studying for a degree in various things can go to different places. The federal government will pay them $7,000-$8,000 a year and then give them a degree, see, all the boot. They get their doctor's degree or whatever it is, you know, they're working for. And a lot of them are going to South America, Brazil, Australia, the various foreign countries. And, of course, when you leave the States, they hike the kitty up several thousand dollars more.
Yeah.
But they're just worlds and worlds. This job out at the farm, out at animal nutrition lab, and beef experimental across Archer Road over there. They're hunting for a head over there, you know. Well, he's got to have a degree. They keep posting this stuff, you know, on the bulletin board. Well, this brother-in-law of mine, you know, put in an application for it. I told him, I said, man, you can't get that thing. I says, old man Cunha, I says, I don't personally know him, but I says, I've been told that he don't know a man unless he's got some kind of degree. And I says, he's the man you got to hire under.
Yeah.
He's the daddy of the whole shebang.
That's right. He's the figurehead.
That's right. And he thinks that everybody has, if he's working at the university, has got a degree.
Yeah.
He's either a doctor or he's working for a doctor's degree. He's on the verge of getting a doctor's degree. Johnny says, shoot, says, I've been working cattle for the last 18 years. And says, I got good reference to this profession. I said, okay. He went up there, and of course, you know, they run you through these here various channels. You know, you first go talk to this little boy and that little boy and that little boy and that little boy. And then they say, well, you got to meet Dr. Cunha. And, of course, you got to have an appointment, which is set up 2 weeks in advance. You got to wait 2 weeks, you know, before you can go see him. And during that time, John's sweating, you know, I got to go see Dr. Cunha. I said, yeah, and you just might well save you gas and time. I said, you get up there, and he may not let you in. I said, you may have to come back tomorrow or the next day. But I said, Johnny, that job opening opportunity is posted in the bulletin board in every hall of the farm shebang. And I said, it's plainly states, and now you got to have a degree in animal husbandry. I talked to two or three fellas about it, because it takes me about 3 weeks for him to ever get to see Dr. Cunha, you know, from the time he started and seeing all the other boys and then getting up there, taking about a week, and I think it's about a 2 week period there waiting for.
He cost the state a good bit.
Oh, yes. Sure did. Well, when he got to see him, he asked, the first question he asked, and the boy told me, I said, John, what did he first ask? He said, how much, I said, what degree do you have in animal husbandry? He said, I don't have any but he says, I have some good references here from some top cattlemen here in the state of Florida. He says, son, he says, we just ain't interested. And I says, I told you that 3 weeks you fooled around with that thing running up at that university, that you wasting your time.
Well, now, who is this?
Brother-in-law, sis, wife's brother, baby brother.
John who?
Mixon. He runs the Canapé Hall Ranch, which used to be a big beef producing outfit. The old granddad died, and the place they just folded up, and Whitehurst is over there leased it, cattle grazing rights on it, so they're taking Johnny in on the lease, see, and Johnny wants to get out from under it, and he wants to go into a business similar to that, but for more money. I said, shoot, they ain't gonna pay you as much as Whitehurst is paying you to operate Canapé Hall. I said, the university anyway. I said, they ain't gonna pay you about $400 starting. And I said, then if you prove, I said, they'll give you a little hike. See, my first cousin just left that job. He just left that thing. And he said that he'd rather be in hell than to be head man over beef experimental and animal nutrition lab out there. He said, that's the bottom of the rung. So that's the bottom rung on the ladder. And so they step all over you. And so they don't pay you a whole lot. They give you a old house over there to live in, you know, university furnished house, utilities and everything. But I got to go. I didn't know as late as it was.
Johnny Mixon.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
How much they pay him over
there? I think he gets utilities,
gas, and
everything for his automobile
to
run around. Which he wouldn't get at the university. But thanks for the paper. And he don't have.
Now this is the end of that surprise Willie tape. It goes on channel all of channel 1, and this is channel 2 around 500. This is the end of it around on channel 2 around 500 this Tuesday, the 23rd of June 1970. Tuesday, the 23rd of June 1970, and this is the end of the Willie tape. This hot afternoon, he caught us putting up that, refixing that electric fence so the cows could go in the old millet in the front pasture. There he was, sitting in the shade and his car, and he spoke. It's around 500, channel 1 over. This surprise visit, Willie came over to talk about hay, to go in with me on some hay. Tuesday, 23rd of June, 1970. Around 500, channel 1 over. Now this covers channel 1 right, all of it, and channel 2 over, channel 1 over, up to 500. All of channel 1 right. And channel 1 over, up to 500, this Tuesday, the 23rd of June, 1970. Willie came over to talk about hay.
Now, this is Thursday, the 25th of June, 1970, and Willie and Frank came over to talk about hay, and we went over in the field and sat there and worked it out. Now, there's just a little bit on tape. We sat in the kitchen about 10 minutes, and I'll transfer that now. And this is Thursday morning, after an inch rain that broke that heat wave. It's still hot and humid, but it broke the heat wave. And this is the day after, and it's still cloudy and sprinkling a little bit along. Thursday, the 25th of June, 1970, Willie and Frank came to talk about hay.
All right, Russ, over here's a good place, and I'll sit here. I'll rush up and
where's boss man?
I'll be back home. He's around. Got
him. I get a chance to sit in a good chair today.
Yeah.
I'm looking for my shirt.
Hello, Mr.
Mitchell.
That's
how
you doing? You met him, though, didn't you?
Yeah, me and him been met. You introduced me down at Bill Wynn's long ago.
Oh, Wynn's, you got to know him down to Wynn's. I brought that along off from your wife, $75. You hunted.
She took you up on it, I hope.
No, she said she's going to leave it up to you. Said she didn't like to spend that little bit of money. Let you spend $100.
An opportunity like that, you better not change your mind,
hadn't you? The other thing about it is, don't you think, though, that you do need a good dog around you? I brought him to show you just exactly what I've got.
I'll tell you, you couldn't even go home with that dog one day, wouldn't you? And you know
You know, he ain't nothing but a good buddy. He ain't no hunting dog. The reason he's not, I didn't train him. But he ain't nothing but a good buddy.
Well, you know, it's just like that white horse out there. That's a good horse. But I won't work it. Mm-hmm. It's not right.
He's just an old buddy.
Yeah, that horse ought to be worked. That dog ought to be worked.
That's right. You know it. You're really not doing the dog or the horse good when you don't work him.
Mm-mm.
Or make him obedient to your will.
Mm-mm. No.
It's just like a child. If you don't make a child obedient to your will, he ain't worth nothing. And he can be made obedient to anybody's will, not only to mention yours, to the public's will. That's the way we were raised.
Sure.
We were obedient to the public's will. That includes all law enforcement officers and everything else, regardless of whether we thought they was good officers or bad officers. We had
that's
to say.
Right. That's right.
I had this boy last night up there at the salt mines.
Yeah.
He going down the road with his nose up in the air, I guess. And, you know, they're working down there on Radio Road. They've been down there right there where McCarty Drive comes out in Radio Road.
Yeah.
And they've got these old markers up, and they had about 15 or 20, just one right behind the other, you know, stacked up there with these flashers going.
Yeah.
Well, this boy, he's tooling his motorcycle down through there, you know. And a lot of them got a bad habit. They'll look down there, and if there's nobody parked in the parking spaces, you know, they'll run no motorcycles down on the left side. No, it'd be the right side of the fella driving the car, and it's against the rules to do that, you know. He said, boy, I'm gonna get ahead of these two fellers, and so boom, boom, and he goes down through there, you know, and he's got his nose up and the breeze whistling, and he runs into all that rack of things. Bam a lam! And they're flying up over his head, and he's got one hung around his neck. He shakes it off and boom, boom, and he goes right on through and never stops. I said, that's a crazy fool.
I wouldn't want to wish evil on anybody, but I'd love to have seen that.
But you know, now that's true. You've seen them do that, them boys up there.
Oh, they cut right, you know, a service station on the corner hadn't got a chance. They'll come right there and run between the, you know, on service station.
It's against the law to do that, too. They'll hang and dry you about that if they catch you.
Yeah.
I got a first cousin got caught. You know, like this is a street corner, and a big station here up there on 6th and 23rd. So he's trying to get around. He's got a job over there, and he's trying to get there. And this, in the mornings and afternoons, this is a real heavy, loaded intersection with traffic. So he just cuts and goes across there, and there's police sitting over on the other side of that McCoy Lumber Company. Horns Lumber Company. And he sees him, of course, he just whistles him over, you know, and brings him on over on his side and has a chat with him. $35 worth. He likes him.
Yes. I never did care much for police. When I was growing up, I liked them.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason you don't like them now.
They'd go out there and play baseball and things like that, you know, and take off all their paraphernalia. I remember Sergeant Freeman and that. But they didn't go out there to police. I don't guess I ever knew him as a policeman.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the reason, then. You weren't raised to respect him.
But, you know,
I'll tell you another reason.
I have some of them expensive conversations too. anyhow, I'd be willing to pay it if you had a few more of them sitting around on corners, just like that.
Well, this cousin, my wife's up in South Carolina, in Orangeburg. He and his wife both, they drive fairly reckless. And they need to be caught at least once a year and charge $50 if necessary.
Yeah.
All depending on how much officer feels he needs.
Yeah.
But anyway, his wife got caught, and he said, "I told you about fooling around." Says, "You're going to get caught as long as you fool around." Says, "You got to do it and do it clean and get away." And she said, "Well," says, "one of these days you're going to get caught." And he said, "Oh, they ain't going to catch me." Just a week from the day they pulled him up. You know. And he said, "What'd I do?" He said, "Well," says, "you run a stop sign back there." He said, "You run across that street against the stop sign." "No, not me." He said, "Yes, you did too." And so he said, "Another thing," he said, "we didn't want to stop you for that." So we've been watching you for a long time. Says, "You speed a little bit in these zones here, these slow speed zones." Says, "Around school, we've noticed you speed a little bit." Says, "But now," says, "we got you. So we just gonna hang and dry you." And they did. And he don't like them. He had a good friend, the cop, you know, up there.
Yeah.
Orangeburg, Sacker, had a good friend with a policeman. And he says that he told him he didn't have a need for him. Not his friend otherwise. But that ain't no way to feel about it.
Because
I rode with the boy, I rode with him, and I told him, I says, "That is the duty and the job of that man. It's when you break the law." I says, "I don't like him if he don't catch you or don't."
Sure. No, it depends on how you know, fella. Now, you know Tuck Mack over there.
Oh, yes.
And you know his boy, same name, Lawrence Roberts. He's the head of that inspection, one of the inspection offices over there in Jacksonville. Well, I had to run in with him up here. And I didn't catch any of them after that. But I saw him out there at his daddy's place one day. Boy, and he had his revolver out there. You know, just target practice, shooting apples off the tree, something like that. And, you know, he's a lot of fun. Oh, he was just good. He just enjoyed talking to him. But if I had seen him over yonder, you see, I don't think I'd have got a proper view of him, but I might not have.
No. No,
likely wouldn't.
Well, that's the way with this boy up in Carolina. All of them dogs, man, pigs and such. He don't care for them. But old Tuck, he's got by with murder. He should have been put in jail half a dozen times.
What for?
Various acts.
Not for speeding.
No, he can't speed. He don't know how.
Yeah.
But you know, he's been caught federal. People have caught him several times. Moonshine and shooting ducks out of season, in season, over the bag limit.
Well, now, he told me about being taken in by the game wardens and fined. He had a heavy fine. Him and Beatty, Mr. Rogers over here.
Mm-hmm.
And the fella, I think the reason I heard him talking about that was the man on the bench that I told you about that.
Uh-uh.
The man on the bench that fined him was Judge Carswell. And let me see. He had, that was when Carswell was up there. He sent, before the Senate. And he said $250 for just a few ducks. I said that, I think. And he says, "Well, that ain't nothing." He said, "Ducks is a federal bird."
Yeah, ducks are federal.
No, I didn't give it to you this straight. I kind of forget it, you know.
Yeah, ain't nothing. Ducks is a federal bird. You're right.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, you know, he's been caught several times. And let loose.
Moonshine?
No, duck shooting. He's a dog for getting caught duck shooting.
Yeah.
Why? And he claims he don't like them. Or at least that's what I've been told.
But he done some moonshine?
I don't think so. He could have, but I don't think so.
Well, when I was growing up, everybody, it seemed like, in the neighborhood, took every now and then took a turn at it.
Did you?
I didn't live out there in the country.
Oh, yeah.
I lived out in town. I went out there and worked all the time.
Oh, yeah. You went out there and overseen it.
Yes.
Booze making.
Oh, yes. I've been around a whole lot of it.
Yeah, I ain't. Mm-hmm. Never have.
Out there.
But the thing about it, you know, old Tuck married a cousin of ours.
No.
Yeah.
I wished I knew somebody who'd done a little moonshine. It's been so long. I never done it, you see. I just sat around and talked to him.
Could you, by any means, rig yourself a still? You seen him? Could you make one work?
No.
Well, then, I was planning on we'd go in business. Seems to be that's a good calling card, moonshine.
Yeah, and just about time you get in business, it'd be calling time. Somebody be done called you.
But,
Because they'd catch you before you stay scared.
Well, now, they tell me they're still
plentiful.
Oh, yes.
Old Henry down there, shoot, man, he'd smell y'all's thing. 100 miles.
Yeah.
H.A.
Oh, well, I ain't worried about him. But the thing about it is...
He busted up a lot of it when he was in office, though.
Uh-huh.
Do you think, though,
H.A. Geiger, you know?
Hmm?
H.A. Geiger. He runs that store out there playing. You know, he runs for sheriff and Willis beat him, you know.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that it's possible before it gets right at the peak of the day we could do a little walk and look at this hay crop?
Let's look at it.
If you feel like it. Now, if you're not up to it, well, we won't do it.
Well, I've just been putting it off.
You've been putting it off?
Mm-hmm.
Getting up or getting out?
I called that old sucker over there about the lime. It don't have to be lime. I just got my little fertilizer. Well, you know them folks, don't you? You cut that game, you get that any time you want, can't you?
Yeah.
And we go on, I put on my boots, we walk on down the ramp talking. Oh, that's a nice session. And this is 7:45:50, channel one over, at the end of Tuesday session. And this is the Thursday session. Willie brings Frank to talk hay and go over and look at the pasture, look at the field. And they can't lose. 6:50, channel one over. Thursday, the 25th of June, 1970.